Blog Talk Radio.
Powers said, let there be light,
in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And powers made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Powers set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And powers saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. And towers swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let fowl fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And powers created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that creepeth, wherewith the waters swarm after its kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And powers saw that powers blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Powers said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And powers made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and the cattle after their kind, from the ground after its kind. And powers saw that it was good. And powers said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, thing that creepeth upon the earth. And powers created man in his own image. In the image of powers created he him. Male and female created he them. And powers blessed them, and powers said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. And powers said, behold, I have given you every herb-yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is a living soul, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And powers saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, powers finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And powers blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he rested from all his works which powers in creating had made. Hallelujah. B'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, I come before thee through thy Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. Cleanse me and wash me, that I may stand before thee to minister before thy people, that I may stand before thy people on your behalf. Gracious and merciful Father, every one of us, Father, for we have all sinned and have fallen short of thy glory. As you have observed, Heavenly Father, the imagination of our hearts are only evil continually. Oh, Heavenly Father, by thy Spirit, that we may overcome our carnal mind with its enmity to thee. Strengthen us by thy Spirit, Heavenly Father, that we be not conformed to this world, but that we may all be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as you have said in thy word. May thy grace and thy mercy, Heavenly Father, be upon each and every one of thy people, whom thou hast called forth from this world, whom thou hast chosen, whom thou is now teaching by thy Spirit, uplifting our heart, our mind, from the generation in which we live. Heavenly Father, strengthen us that we may stand on your word. Strengthen us that we may speak thy word. Strengthen us that we submit to thy will. Strengthen us that we become light in the darkness of this world. Strengthen us that we become pillars upholding thy truth. Strengthen us that we become warriors, the army of Yah, the rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us that we may all be armored up, that we may all stand firm, that we may all endure until the end. B'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Prevail. As we begin a new series tonight, what does the Bible teach about God? We've just come through one series. What does the Bible teach about authority? No greater authority than that of the Most High himself. But what has the Most High revealed about himself within his word? The greatest mystery of all time is the existent supreme being. It remains a mystery because it arouses speculation. For example, atheists and agnostics. It arouses curiosity. For example, spiritualists and theologians. And due to features and qualities that appear to be obscure, the doctrine or the concept of a higher power remains a mystery. An examination of the world's religions can lead to opinions of God blamed, unknown, simply because of the diversity prevalent among them all. Some belief systems holding dear a manuscript allegedly given by who they believe the Most High is. The Quran, the Vedas of the dead, the Book of Mormon, they all add to the mystification of the Most High's existence. All differing in some form or fashion from the others. Even the all-time bestseller, the Holy Bible translations, re-editing and misinterpretation, even the Holy Bible has fostered numerous denominations, Catholicism, Christianity, etc. Nevertheless, it is the Holy Bible, the Holy Scripture, that stands at the forefront of all sacred manuscripts. And there is a reason why. Because it is the truth. A statement such as that has been very controversial since the Holy Scripture has been in existence. But I, as a servant of the Most High, stand firmly for the fact that the Word of Yah, as administered through His servant, the prophet, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Even as the Messiah himself said, word is truth. Question is, how many current Bible believers or Bible students believe that? Or have you too been indoctrinated by the deception of the adversary to the point where you now doubt whether this word is in fact inspired by the Most High? We began quoting Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. This is the introduction of the Holy Scripture. The Torah, Surah, also called Chumash, meaning five, is the foundation of the Holy Scripture. The first book, Bereshit, which means in the beginning in the Hebrew original, or Genesis, which means origin in the Greek translation, was written during the third millennium of humanity's existence. The first 34 verses lays the foundation of one of the most important and critical aspects of what the Bible teaches about God. Who the Most High is, creation. I want to take a look at a few things. Now, today in our world, when it comes to this whole idea of creation, now what you have what's called science, which believes, and I say that word for a reason. Science believes that they stand in contrast to the word of the Most High. You want to take a look at that. When we consider the term science, for example, now the word science is actually derived from a Latin term, scientia. And that term simply means knowledge. And what is knowledge? Knowledge is basically something that you come to know. Question is how you come to know. How, according to the Holy Scripture, equip mankind with what we refer to as five senses. The sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smelling, the sense of tasting, and the sense of touching. It is by these five senses that we accumulate whatever we come to know in this physical realm. So what science simply is what you have come to know or to learn by your life experience. That is what science is, which is why you find some, for example, according to another definition, which it has gradually come to mean a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. Let me read that definition one more time. A branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths systematically arranged and showing the operation of general laws. Now, when you hear that definition, question what your mind. Reading that definition, what comes to my mind is the word. That is exactly what the word of Yah is. It is a branch of knowledge. Study that deals with a body of facts or truths. Remember, thy word is truth. Systematically arranged. There's a passage in the Psalms where Brother David says, order my steps in thy word. There's another place where Brother Paul teaches how we should rightly divide the word, where you put those thoughts together, and if you want to add more proof, evidence, there's another place where Brother Isaiah brings out how line shall be to line, precept to precept, a little here, a little here. In other words, the way that the Holy Scripture has been devised, it has been systematically arranged with a body of facts or truths. And what do they show? They show the operation of general laws. So even in this definition of science, There is a truth hidden beneath these words. One thing that we as human beings have to realize, especially if you proclaim to be a Bible believer or a Bible student, if there is a higher power, a supreme being, which we refer to as God, my apologies for those who are offended by that term, but I use that term simply because of familiarity. We will get into the definition according to the Hebraic understanding momentarily. But for whomsoever believes in, they must of necessity also believe in the polar opposite, which is Satan, the devil, that old serpent which deceiveth the whole world. We must not lose sight of that fact, Bible believers, because that is a truth that we have learned from the Word, Bible students. There is adversary also at work. I just so happened to live here in Baltimore, Maryland. Several months ago, there was an incident with family members that lived in Ferguson. All of the incidents that occurred after the death of Mike Brown, the rioting, the looting, well, more Maryland, as the result of the death of Freddie Gray. Youngsters rioting, looting. At this particular point, the National Guard had been put on alert and are in the process of being activated. So when you see the footage on the news, organized demonstration for a cause, you see mass confusion. And what the adversary is doing, you see, the adversary, he's playing both sides. And people don't even understand that. He's playing one side to serve. Now, let me say this in their defense. You do have some officer friendlies on the police force. But you also have thugs and criminals on the police force who misuse the power that they took an oath to. So the adversary uses that. And through the misuse and the abuse of power leading to the death of young brothers such as a Freddie Gray or a Mike Brown, arousing anger and rage. So now this anger and this rage is being perpetrated by children. If you see the footage, you will notice that a lot of the people in that footage are adolescents, teenagers. Some of them hadn't even gone home from school to change the school uniforms. Some of them didn't even put down a back plan, organized chaos, that they were going to turn Mondom and Mall upside down, and they did that. And then after they finished there, it started to spread out and move towards the northwest part of the city further. And they just wreaked havoc and caused damage. But the question is, to what avail? Because you're not going to solve anything. The adversary is doing, he has a plan. Can the adversary create a plan and now infuse people to carry this plan out? Well, this is exactly what we're seeing in Baltimore, Maryland. This is exactly what we saw in Ferguson. This is exactly what we see throughout the four corners of this world. The adversary hard at work. And because of the choices. And I want to emphasize the fact that these are choices that men and women, boys and girls are making. You have a sector of society who believes that there is no higher power, there is no supreme being, totally negating the fact that these men, these women, these boys, these girls are operating based on free will. So now you have a citywide curfew being implemented. You see, all of these are small steps towards what we refer to as martial law. In order for this to be implemented, the adversary has to stir the pot and create situations for the implementation. But point being, if you believe in the higher power who stands for light and truth, then you also have to believe that there's another power. And notice I didn't say another higher power, another power that exists, who stands for the polar opposite, knowledge, what we come to know. I want to read an article. The article, I'm not going to read the whole article, just excerpt, is entitled The Origin of the Universe, The Big Bang. The article can be found at space.about.com. It was written by a gentleman by the name of John P. Millis, who is a PhD, space astronomy expert. Okay. I'm not putting his name out there to cast any negativity towards this brother, only to give him the credit due for writing the article. Simply put. So I want to read a few things that he has stated here, and then we want to go back and we want to touch on some things in regards to our discussion. What does the Bible teach about God? As always, I encourage you all who are listening to pull out your tools, follow along. Take notes so that you can go back and you can reference some of the things that we discuss. And my hope is that you do so prayerfully with sincerity and humility. So, the article begins. In 1959, a survey was conducted of scientists across America concerning their understanding of the physical sciences. One particular question asked, what is your concept of the universe? More than two-thirds of the scientists polled responded that there was no origin of the universe. They believed that the universe was eternal. Then, 5 years later, in 1964, radio astronomers Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson discovered a mic signal buried in their data. They attempted to filter out the signal, assuming that it was merely unwanted noise. However, they soon realized what the signal actually was. They had inadvertently discovered the cosmic microwave background, CMB, the CMB, had been predicted by a theory that few believed at the time called the Big Bang. This discovery was the first evidence that the universe had a beginning. Stop right there for a moment. So, there was a time when they did not believe that the universe had a beginning, that it was eternal, thought in mind. Then there came a point after inadvertently discovering something that they came up with, and let's emphasize this point, a theory. Do we understand what that is? The term theory, simply put, belief, assumption. You see? In other words, a theory does not necessarily mean that it is truth. It is someone, being considered the synonym, is someone who is making what they refer to as an educated guess. That's what it is. You want to keep that thought in mind. So, let's get back to our article. Again, the CMB had been predicted by a theory, remember, an educated guess that few believed at the time, called the Big Bang. This universe had a beginning. So now, the question we want to ask ourselves as far as the origin of the universe, what is the Big Bang? Once it was understood that the universe had a beginning, stop for a moment. We have to ask this question in connection to this statement. Once it was understood that the universe had a beginning, hold up. How was it understood? Based on CMB, a cosmic microwave background, which predicted a theory, or rather, predicted by a theory. Okay, let's get back to the article. Once it was understood the universe had a beginning, scientists began to ask, how did it come into existence and what existed before it? Legitimate question. Because if you believe now that the universe had a beginning, what a beginning implies is a starting point. So if there is a starting point for the universe, the question is, for the universe, what existed before the universe? Most scientists now believe that the answer to the first part of the question, remember the first part, how did it come into existence? Most scientists now believe that the answer to the first part of the question is that the universe sprang into existence from a singularity. Now, here's a question. See, when they use these terms, we have to ask ourselves a question. What do these things mean? Now, you hear within that word what exactly it means. Singularity, the state, fact, or quality of being singular. The state, fact, or quality of being singular. That's what singularity is. What does it mean to be singular? One. So, the universe sprang into existence from a singularity, a term physicists use to describe regions of space that defy the laws of physics. Stop right there. Let's understand what's being said here. You have the laws of physics. They are saying that there's a singularity, there is something that exists that defies these laws. In other words, is above these laws. Everybody following along with what the article is saying here? Because see, one of the things that I give praise, I give glory, I give honor to our Heavenly Father, hallelujah, something that he has taught time and time again. All knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding proceeds and comes forth from his mouth. As we read what the scientists put together, and as we define the different terms that they use, what we're actually hearing is a twist on everything that we've already been taught from the Word, which was written in the third millennium of humanity's existence. Singularity, one, and whatever this singularity is, it is something that is above the laws of physics. It defies the laws of physics. Well, let's continue. We know very little about singularity, but we believe that others probably exist in the cores of black holes. Now, let me say this. This is one man. This is one article. There are numerous men and women. There are numerous articles and books that have been written on this subject. This is just one. But guaranteed, ever when you read, what you will discover is that the terminology used is nothing more than a twist of the scripture. They're saying the exact same thing that the Holy Scripture teaches, but what they're trying to do, they're trying to remove that supreme being from the equation, not realizing that it is impossible. Their very own teaching is impossible if you remove that divinity. But let's move on. The second part of the question, remember the two questions. First part was, how did it come into existence? The second part, what existed before it? The second part of the question as to what existed before the Big Bang has scientists baffled. Do you understand what that means? You ever heard the term baffled before? Well, get an opportunity, look it up, and check it out on your own. But the term baffle means to confuse. When a person is baffled, it means that they are confounded. So, in this article, we're learning is that the second part of the question as to what existed before the Big Bang has scientists baffled. Now, let's go back for a moment, because we had another lesson that we did, which was, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. The beginning of whose kingdom? Well, we originally found from Holy Scripture that it was referring to the adversary. The beginning of that adversary's kingdom was Babel. Babel is a term which means to confuse or to confound. So we see with schools of higher learning today, which turn out all of these different letters that you find behind people's names. The scientist, in other words, the scientist can be comparable to what we refer to as the wise men of today. The scientists, these are the ones supposed to have that knowledge, who are supposed to know, but they are confounded, they are confused. You know why? Because they are striving to twist the Holy Scripture and remove the divinity from it, which leaves them, by definition, nothing existed prior to the beginning. Now, when I get to that part, interesting thing is, and it's interesting because it's not necessarily a teaching, but a song comes to mind. There's a song that was written many years ago And it was a song that was written by Billy Preston. And the name of the song was Song Lyric in the Hook. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So if you had the Big Bang educated guess, the Big Bang hypothesis, which gives a starting point for the universe. If there's a starting point for the universe, if you say nothing, if nothing was ever there, where did the something come from? Now, let me interject something else. How many of you are familiar with what's referred to as Occam's razor? Problem-solving principle, which was devised by a man named William of Occam, who was an English Franciscan friar and scholastic philosopher and theologian. The principle of Occam's razor states that among competing hypotheses that predict equally well, the one with the fewest assumptions should be selected. Other, more complicated solutions may ultimately prove to provide better predictions, but in the absence of differences in predictive ability, the fewer assumptions that are made, the better. Now, this is a principle that was devised by what many believe to be a scholar, a philosopher. But there's this one little part that people didn't like, the fact that he was also a theologian. In other words, explanation normally is the better explanation. So let's get back to our article. The second part of the question as to what existed before the Big Bang has scientists baffled. By definition, nothing existed prior to the beginning. But that fact creates more questions than answers. For instance, if nothing existed prior to the Big Bang, what caused the singularity to be created in the first place? There was a beginning, a starting point, but then if we say there's a starting point, then what existed before the starting point? Which is why originally the thought was that the universe was eternal. Even with that, there had to have been something that is everlasting. One of my brothers, Brother D.O.L., taught a lesson he covered for one of my other brothers, Arya, on the Tuesday show. And in this show, what he talked about were energies. And one of the things that he brought out is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. In other words, energy is eternal. Keep that thought in mind, because all of this that we are discussing, these are scientific discoveries. These are discoveries made by man doing research and coming to certain conclusions. So if energy is eternal, what does that resonate to us Bible believers, to us Bible students? Let's get back to our article. The singularity was created, and then he has in parentheses, however it happened, and they like to just brush on over that. But anyway, let's go back to the article. Once the singularity was created, it began to expand through a process called inflation. The universe went from very small very dense and very hot, to the cool expanse that we see today. This theory is now referred to as the Big Bang, a term first coined by Sir Fred Hoyle, a British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC radio broadcast in 1950. Interestingly, there really wasn't any sort of explosion or bang, as the name suggests, but rather the rapid expansion of space and time. It is like blowing up a balloon. As you blow air in, the exterior of the balloon expands outward. Now, the beauty, hallelujah, once again, you can't read these things that man has discovered. Although they are attempting to twist the Holy Scripture, because they are baffled, because they have tried to remove the Most High from the equation, they don't even realize that the information that they're bringing forth actually supports what we started out with in the book of Genesis. How, you may ask? Here's some homework for you. Do a research on the term that has been translated as created in the first verse of the Bible. And what you will find is that in some usages, it also means to fatten. So when you fatten something, to fatten something is another way of saying inflating something. That's the word. The Most High revealed that to Moses in the third millennium, long before Sir Hoyle coined that phrase, long before these men in 1964 discovered CMB, long before that. But see, the scientists and the intellectuals and those who promote the schools of higher learning will have Bible believers and Bible students believing that we are the fools, not even realizing that in their teaching, in their scientific discovery, they are actually giving credence and proof to the very word they deny. Give you a clear understanding as to why the Most High said in his word, the fool has said in his heart, there is no mighty one. So let's take a look at another famous scientist. His name is Stephen Hawking. And this was a lecture that he did called The Origin of the Universe. He says, give me a moment, let me find, okay, in this section here, it says, he says, in order to understand the origin of the universe, we need to combine the general theory of relativity with quantum theory. Did you hear that? Do you understand? Now, see, here's the thing. To us laypersons, and I consider myself to be a layperson as far as scientific knowledge is concerned, okay? See, what the adversary has done, he has given man the deception of knowing by creating these big words, you see? And see, by using these big words that you have to go into the dictionary to find what it means, that lay sounds so eloquent and they sound so articulate. And because the lay person doesn't really grasp what they're talking about, they automatically assume that this person knows what they're talking about. So, again, he's in this lecture, he says, in order to understand the origin of the universe, we need to combine the general theory of relativity. So the first thing we got to ask, what is the general theory of relativity? See, one of the things that the Most High wants us to have is understanding. You see? So what is the general theory of relativity? The theory of relativity, or what's referred to simply in physics as relativity, it actually encompasses two theories by Albert Einstein. Okay? Now, one of these theories, measurements of various quantities are relative to the velocities of observers, time dilates. So he said you have to combine that thought, okay? Now, he also mentions quantum theory, right? So basically, let me before I move to the quantum theory, so we understand, this is the same thing that he was saying as far as the inflation, but he's saying it in a different way. When he says space contracts and time dilates, okay, smaller, and time supposedly gets bigger. So you have one thing is being contracted, the one thing is growing. But here's the thing. Now, not a lot of people fully understand this. But when creation took place, one of the things that you find is that there was a power that existed. And as this power created, it didn't contract and to the point where it got so small that it was nothing and it didn't even exist. But it contracted in a sense of making room for what was now being brought forth and created. Okay? So this is the concept about space contracting and time dilating. But now he said to combine this thought with what they refer to as quantum theory. So what is quantum theory? Quantum theory is, let me read this. It is a, and listen to the terminology again, quantum theory is the theoretical basis of modern physics that explains the nature and behavior of matter and energy, or the atomic and the nature and behavior of matter and energy at that level is sometimes referred to as quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Now, whenever you're talking about the atomic and the subatomic level, now you're talking about something that the physical eye cannot see. So you're talking about something that was so small, it began at that stage. Now you combine this quantum theory with the general relativity theory, and now this is how, and this is what Stephen Hawking is saying, you get a better understanding of how the Big Bang happened. Now, taking that into consideration, right? Let's go back to Occam's razor. Now, do we understand all that was just said? Some of you hearing it may have caught on. Some of you hearing it may not have caught on. That's fine. What is it? Just be simpler to just acknowledge somebody made all this stuff. So what the Most High did in these first passages, which are broken down into 7 days. In the beginning, powers, you see. Another way of saying powers, forces. You could say energies, you see. You can call it quantum. You can call it general relativity. You can use all these creative terms any way, shape, or form you try. You can say it's atomic or subatomic. You can use all of that. But the simple fact of the matter is you are talking about a power, a force, an energy at work. Power, a force, an energy that defies any other law that exists. What could defy a law besides the one who created it? So the Messiah, as an example, let's say the law of gravity. You got a lot of people who believe that the universe, matter of fact, and I may not get this quote correct, may not be verbatim, but this is the gist. And once again, this is something that Stephen Hawking said. Because of the law of gravity, there is no need for a creator of the universe. Now, here's the problem I have with that. If you are of the belief that if you can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it, it don't exist, could you please show me what gravity looked like? 5 senses to detect it. But he believes that. He taught that. That's a principle. Now, let me explain. I'm not saying that gravity doesn't exist. But the point that's being made is he believes in a law of gravity but cannot see it, cannot hear it, cannot taste it, can't smell it, can't touch it. Still believes. If you believe in something that practically is invisible, isn't that comparable to those who believe in the Most High? It's just that you have chosen to believe in the law of gravity or the law of physics. Now, keep that in mind. To have that belief, the law of gravity, the law of physics, and to have that belief that this singularity was something that had to come into existence that was a power that was above the law of physics. Isn't that testified to greater in their own language? So he says, powers put all these things in the beginning. That's what happens. See, the first thing that the Bible teaches about the Most High, that the Most High wants us to know about himself, he consists of powers. See, and the beauty of it is this, the Hebrew language, just a little bit. In the Hebrew language, when this was originally written, Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, At, HaShemayim, La, Ha'aretz. In other words, in the beginning, powers created by the earth. Elohim, or more familiar to those, Elohim. That word translated is not God, or should not have been God, singular, because the term Elohim, according to Hebrew grammar, is actually a plural term. Now, the term Elohim is derived from another Hebrew term, which is Elah. And even that term, Elah, is derived from another term, El, is a word that consists of 2 letters, which is referred to as a parent root. It is considered to be a parent root because the first letter is the father and the second letter is the mother. Thereby, you have a parent root. What you find, for those of you who need proof by way of grammarians, all you need to do, there are 2 books that can be recommended. How the Hebrew Language Grew by Edward Horowitz and Hebrew grammar, you do a research into those two books. Within those two books, these two men bring out how the Hebrew language is based on what's referred to as a biliteral root. In other words, two letters. Now, most of the terms that you see in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance Hebrew lexicon consists of three, maybe four letters, but you also come across some two-letter words. Now, the two letters that form the term L, the first letter is an aleph, as we've discussed before on the show. The aleph originally was written as a picture, which is, now, when you saw that picture of an ox head, there is a nuance to that letter. When you think about an ox, and you think about how the ox was used by primitive man, the ox can be comparable to what we refer to today as your Ford F-150, you see? It was a beast of burden, and it had power. So the power, strength, might. Now, that's one aspect of the letter, or of the name, or the word, rather. The second letter that's used is the lamed. Now, the lamed was a picture of a staff. And we think about what the staff was used for by primitive man. The staff was what primitive man used to lead, be it herd. Even when you look at rulers in ancient times, they had a staff, or what came to be termed as a scepter in some cultures. It was supposed to be a show of your leadership quality, being a ruler. So now when you put those two letters together, the aleph, which is the ox head, and the lamed, which is your staff, you have a powerful ruler. You see? A mighty leader. And these two letters form the word, and by way of expansion, you add a letter, you get Elah. And then if you add two other letters, you get Elohim. So now the term Elohim, it means powers. Why? Because one of the things that the Most High wanted us to know about himself is that he consists of every power that exists in this physical realm. What are these powers? According to how science breaks it down. Think about how things work. Now, you have power that you get from water. You have power that you get from wind, from the sun. These are three forms of power without which you will not have the electricity that you have. See, without electricity, we all fall right back to that age of primitive man. That's the difference between us and them. Electricity. Electricity. Power down. Guess what? Any of you ever seen that television show called Revolution? It's no longer on. But that's what that show was about. The power was shut down. Man went right back to being primitive. In other words, he had to learn how to live off the land again. But the power you get from the sun, the power you get from the wind, the power you get from water, these are examples of the power of the Most High. And by way of these powers, you can do anything you need to do. We're familiar with solar energy. You build your house, right? And you have solar panels place, it would be the energy from the sun that can keep the whole house lit up and powered and functional. Wind energy. That's what your windmills are for. the wind energy causes the windmills to spin, and as the windmills are spinning, what it does, it generates current so that you can also power up your house. And with the water energy, water is constantly moving. So they normally build those plants by a moving water source or a living water source. So that as it moves, you have a device. I don't recall what the device is called at the moment, but as the water hits it, it causes it to move, and the constant flow, and as the constant flow, it just keeps turning it, and as it turns, it generates that power. All of these are natural. They are only symbolic, not a coincidence in the Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit is comparable to water. Even when you look at the term Holy Spirit, or another Ruach HaKodesh, the term Ruach, it's spirit, air, wind. You already know the scripture says how Yahweh is a sun and shield. But he wants us to know that he consists of power. But not only those, in that sense, we also learn when you look at the table of elements. For example, let's take water, because he's teaching us something. In the table of elements, every element is what we refer to as H2O. Water consists of the properties hydrogen and oxygen. Hydrogen, you have two parts. Oxygen, you have one part. So H2O, and you put these together, and guess what you have? You have water. Now, if you add one more part of oxygen to that, and you become H2O2, guess what you have? You have hydrogen. You have a whole other element. So when you look at the table of elements, and you look at how the different elements combine and they form these substances. See, this is just another means by which the Most High teaches us that he consists of power, energy. You see? Because, see, in order for the water or the wind or the sun to power up that home, that means that you have to have some form of conduit by way of electrical wiring, copper, nickel, et cetera, something that's going to transmit that force. It comes from one of the natural elements that the earth produces. Everything that humanity needs to survive comes from this green earth we live on. Everything. Scripture says so. He said he gave us the green earth to use as food. Now, when we read that, the focal point is just what we're going to eat. Not just food as far as consume it, put it in your mouth, and it goes into the belly. Do you know that you grow clothing? Tell me you don't think about it. You know why? Because we've become so accustomed to going to the department store or going to the mall to buy your clothes. Well, brothers and sisters, Israelites who was born over here as slaves, you do recall in the story that we've heard of the American slave trade that one of the things that our forefathers were made to do is to pick cotton. Do you understand that you grow cotton, that cotton comes from a plant? You ever heard of flax? It comes from a plant. So these same plants that can provide us with the fruits and the vegetables can also provide us with the clothing. What do you think your houses are made of in most cases? Wood. We think wood comes from trees, which come from the earth. Think your medication comes from. Comes from the herbs. Comes from the weeds. The plants. Everything that we as human beings need to survive was created by powers to sustain us. And the scientists and the free thinkers, so-called, of today will have you believing that there is no mighty one. And they would rather have you believe that haphazardly, by singularity, something that came into being and created this organized planet within this organized system from nothing. Say, we believe in the fairy tale. Talk about a fairy tale, believing that there was nothing, and then automatically out of somewhere something pops up. That sounds like magic to me, opposed to believing that there is an everlasting power that can neither be destroyed nor created, that has always existed. Science teaches. And this is attributed to Louis Pasteur. The law of biogenesis. And it is the observation, and just emphasize that word. It is the observation. See, from what you see with one of your senses, one of the ways that we were given to acquire information. Living things come only from other living things. And it comes from a Latin phrase, omne vivum ex vivo, which simply means all life is from life. Hold up. Here's a scientist. He observed. And by observation, he came up with a law, was called biogenesis. And from this observation, what he has deduced is that in order for something to be alive, something had to be living prior to it. So does that mean now, when we talk about the Big Bang Theory, we talk about that singularity from which everything else eventually stems, something had to possess life first. Bible believers, as Bible students, we already should understand that the word of Yah is truth. And all these scientists are doing, they are discovering how he did what he did. That's all. They are discovering the intricacies of how he did what he did. That's all. The Bible is clear. In the beginning, powers created. You see? Powers created. And that question we ask, what is creation? Producing or causing to exist. What it is. Guess what our Heavenly Father's name means? Yah. Guess what that means? to bring into existence. That's what it means. So this is what Yah, our Heavenly Father, did. He brought forth powers that consist within himself, always exists. Remember, science already knows. You can't destroy energy. You can't create energy. It always is here. It's just transmitted. So he released these powers. And by releasing these powers from himself, what he was actually doing, he contracted himself. And these powers, guess what they are? They're intelligent. Let me go through this. And I'm going to close with this. Next week we'll pick back up. But we want to look at the creation. And for the sake of those who don't speak the Hebrew, I won't use the Hebrew language. But this is what the creation was like. Let there be light in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Let the earth put forth grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit tree bearing fruit after its kind, wherein the seed thereof upon the earth. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let fowl fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after its kind. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. Behold, I have given you every herb-yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, in every tree, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is a living soul, I have given every green herb for food. And that was how the creation, or rather, what we have learned, the recreation of the world was. See, in the beginning, power was created, the heavens and the earth. One thing that scientists are correct in, not correct in determining the exact amount of years, in learning or discovering that the earth is much older than many people think it is. Unfortunately, you can't put a time limit on it because we don't know exactly how long it's been here. But it's been here for some time. But what we're learning about in the book of Genesis, in this first chapter and second chapter, we are learning how the Most High prepared this planet particularly for human habitation. Can't exist outside of this atmosphere. And the reason why? Because it was this planet and this planet alone that was created for us. In Psalms 102:25, we are taught, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. In Jeremiah 10:12, we learn, by his power he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. The first thing that the Most High wants humanity to know and to understand about him is that he is the creator of all things that exist. Hallelujah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel, in the name of thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, I come before thee, and I give praise, glory, and honor to thy holy and thy most precious name. For thou above all thy creation are worthy to be praised, even by the whole of thy creation, Heavenly Father. To us all, we have been subjected to our adversary and your adversary. He has deceived us into believing things to be true that are not true. He has caused us to go astray from thy way. Heavenly Father, we beseech thee to be gracious and merciful to us all, and please forgive us for the sin and the iniquity that we have committed against you. But it's against you and you only that we have sinned. Heavenly Father, strengthen us all by thy Spirit, that we may all obey thy voice, all submit to thy will, that we may all follow the example of thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. That we may all do only those things that are pleasing in thy sight. So therefore, Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, we beseech thee to chastise us, to rebuke us when we go astray to the left and to the right. For thou hast considered all sinners falling short of thy glory. There is none righteous, no, not one, Heavenly Father. But it is by thy loving kindness drawn each and every one of us to you. Help us, Father, your people who struggle to walk according to thy will. Help us that we may overcome our evil and our wicked ways. Heavenly Father, I pray for the city of Baltimore. The adversary has worked his work, and he is moving upon our children. But in light of it all, I have to say hallelujah. Because when things like this happen, it is a testimony that your word is true. You said to one of your servants, the prophet, how our children will be, and we see that today, because that's who's running back and forth, up and down these streets, riotous, looting. It's the children. It's a testimony that thy word is in fact the truth, as thou hast declared through thy Son, thy word. But I pray, nevertheless, Heavenly Father, I pray that you strengthen thy people, that we may all band together. Unify us by thy word, in mind, in spirit, in goal, that we, gracious and merciful Father, may stand strong and firm to be a shining and bright light within this darkened world in which we live. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for another day of life. I thank you for another opportunity to share the word that you have given to me, gracious and merciful Father. And I pray for all thy people Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah, yeah, God.
How we desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say ha, yeah, say ha, yeah, say ha,
the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Y'all know it by now. Come on, sing.
All the glory belongs.
All the glory belongs to you.
To you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Yeah.
All the glory belongs to you,
oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh Lord, we bless your name and we give you glory. You're high in all the earth, because you're worthy.